You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org. Hi, everybody. You're listening to Radio Cherry Bomb, and I'm your host, Carrie Diamond. Each week, we bring the pages of Cherry Bomb magazine to life through conversations with the coolest women in and around the world of food. First, let's thank our sponsors. Le Cordon Bleu. If you're daydreaming about culinary school, maybe it's time to say bonjour to Le Cordon Bleu. Learn more about the legendary culinary school's most prestigious professional qualification, Le Grand Diplôme, by visiting cordonbleu.com. .edu. And Bob's Red Mill. Bob's Red Mill is an employee-owned company that's been offering organic, gluten-free, and stone-ground products for decades. With Bob's Red Mill, you're not just getting quality, you're getting flavor-packed food that tastes amazing. Visit bobsredmill.com today. And Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs. Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs are better than cage-free. They are bull-free. Try for yourself. To get your coupon for Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs, head to vitalfarms.com/cherrybomb. We've been busy at Cherry Bomb HQ working on some plans for the fall already. Part two of our Future of Food Tour is coming up, 2019's Jubilee Conference, can you believe it, and our next issue. Lots of exciting stuff. I have one thing you can help us with. We are looking for indie bookstores and boutiques and cookware shops to carry our magazine. We would love to be in all 50 states in the country. If you have any places in mind, let us know and we'll reach out to them. DM us or email us at info@cherrybomb.com. We're very lucky that some of the best shops around carry Cherry Bomb magazine, including the legendary Kitchen Arts and Letters in Manhattan. Definitely go visit them if you are in New York City. What else is new? Some of you heard that I started a project at my coffee shop in Brooklyn, Smith Canteen, to go single-use plastic-free by January 1st. It's a little crazy, but I'm committed to that. We'll see. It's been very interesting so far. So many really amazing people have reached out to me to either share best practices or ask me what I'm doing. And my answer right now is I'm still learning. But I've been doing a lot of homework, and it's been fascinating. One thing I would love for everybody in the Bomb Squad to do is get yourself a reusable water bottle and a reusable coffee cup. A lot of people are trying to create truly compostable products. I was talking to this one guy who's doing a compostable lid that you can actually just throw in your garden compost. Most compostable products need to be industrially composted, and a lot of cities just are not set up for that. But the reality is, nothing makes a difference like reusable. If I can encourage a few of you to make the switch, that will make me very happy. Speaking of making me happy, I loved talking to today's guest, Shrankla Holacek, because I learned so much from her. She's the founder of Uma, a beautiful skincare line inspired by her family. They've been handcrafting essential oil blends in the Ayurvedic tradition and farming and crafting the world's finest organic oils for almost, ready, 800 years. An engineering student and McKinsey alum, Shrankla resisted getting into the family business for a long time. As she said, "I was scared of presenting my family business to the world and failing. It was not a path I wanted to go down." Stay tuned to hear how she put her fears aside and listen all the way to the end for some easy wellness tips you can incorporate into your life. We'll be right back with Shrankla right after this word from Le Cordon Bleu. Are you daydreaming about culinary school again? Make this the year your dreams become reality with Le Cordon Bleu, the legendary culinary school. Study classic French culinary techniques in cuisine and patisserie as part of their exclusive 9-month Le Grand Diplôme and graduate into a world of opportunity. You also can extend your course of studies to include culinary management and dedicated internships. Le Cordon Bleu has locations in more than 20 countries around the world and located within some of the best food cities out there. London, Ottawa, Madrid, Bangkok, Tokyo, and of course, the spiritual home of cuisine and Le Cordon Bleu, Paris. Turning your daydreams into reality is closer than ever. Visit cordonbleu.edu for more and let your culinary adventure begin. Shrunkla Holacek, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thank you for having me.
It's so nice to have you here. I'm such a big fan of your products. My introduction to them was your face oil, which I really love. But yeah, I'm such a big fan of your products, and I'm sitting in front of the most beautiful candle right now, and the studio has never smelled this lovely. So thank you so much for bringing it.
Well, thank you. I'm sure there's a lot of hyperbole in there, but I will take it.
There's no hyperbole in there. So let's just jump right into it. Tell me how you started Uma.
So there was a few things, you know, rather than an epiphany, I feel like it was more a culmination of a few long brewing things. One was since having moved to the United States and having lived in LA for about 7 or 8 years at the time, people's emphasis on understanding the provenance of things they were putting in their mouths or their bodies was not lost on me. Increasingly, I saw even celebrities show up at farmers markets because sometimes even Whole Foods wasn't good enough for the freshness of their veggies. And as I noticed that more and more people became particular and asked questions about their food, they did not have that level of transparency or access to that transparency with their skincare. And I think most people know today that 70-80% of what you put on your skin does get absorbed into your bloodstream. And having uniquely had the access to pristine ingredients that were very clean and grown in front of your eyes, as it were, made me believe that there was something here in terms of an offering to people. That combined with the fact that my family has been doing Ayurvedic ingredients for the royal family in India for about 800 years and have access to these incredible, very time-tested formulas that have just been secretly passed down from family to family, from generation to generation within the family, gave me the confidence that we might be able to put these ingredients into formulations that really, really work. And at a time that the audience was really ready for something of that type. So that was the inspiration behind Uma.
Doesn't that just blow your mind when you say the words 800 years out loud?
When you point it out, yes, I suppose. But, you know, when you sort of grow up taking it for granted, it is, you know, it's what it is. Yes, yes, you know, 800 years. But you're right. It's truly special to take a step away from it and appreciate it, which has been powerful personally.
That's a lot of history and a lot of knowledge. So were you an entrepreneur before that?
I was not. I was an engineering undergrad, went to business school. That's what I came to the United States for. And I was with a management consulting firm called McKinsey for 5 years. So no, not much of an entrepreneur. I have taught myself many things on the job.
But I'm sure you learned a lot at McKinsey about how to run a business and how not to run a business.
That is true. And incredibly, I think the thing that I found most valuable from my McKinsey days was having the confidence to figure anything out. And very often in McKinsey studies, it was a very challenging environment where you knew nothing about the industry or the function you were going into, and you worked hard and you figured it out and you came up with the best answer there is. And I felt like that really gave me the confidence to go and try and figure things out with hard work and, you know, a good network. But that was valuable.
Now, is this a family business or is this your business?
It's a good question. I suppose it's both. One of the most valuable things in being able to do this has been access to incredible raw materials and an operation that is very sophisticated, which is my family's estate. So my family does supply essential oils to some of the world's premier fragrance and beauty houses. So they have a very, very high standard, both in extraction as well as certification. And that really helped me in sourcing the ingredients entirely from the estate. That being said, Uma as a brand is something that, you know, I had the honor and privilege to start on my own, and it married those ingredients into formulations that were my family's, because my family has never before given away those family formulas. So it's a bit of both.
What was your aha moment? You talked about going to the farmers markets and seeing certain things in Beverly Hills, but there must have been that one moment where everything just kind of came together for you. You were like, I can combine what my family's been doing for all these years. I can take a little bit of what I've learned at McKinsey.
You know, I feel like my aha moment, maybe this is not the most aspirational thing, came from losing the battle against going into the family business. I felt like all the cues were there all along, and I was getting all these very real messages in way of my advisors and telling me, my market research showing that. But given the history that, you know, my family has, I was so, so, so scared of presenting it to the world and failing that it was not a path I wanted to go down. And my aha moment, I suppose, came from the time that that I realized that even if I failed, I would hopefully end up educating and putting Ayurveda out there enough for enough people to benefit from it. So whether or not the business is a success, we would have done our job if we introduced some wanting people to the science of Ayurveda. And I think when I finally accepted that was the aha moment.
Well, you chose a very bold name for your venture.
Uma was my aunt's name, and you're right. Given her legacy in my mind of selflessness, authenticity like I've never seen in an individual, and true spirit of beauty from within, it was a tall order for a business to try and live up to. But then also
the goddess.
Indeed. And
I didn't know about your aunt, actually. Oh. I was thinking more about the goddess, but...
She was probably named after the goddess. And yes, Uma, the goddess, is indeed the creator. And she's Shiva's wife, who's considered the original creator in Hinduism, of which Ayurveda is a small part. But yes, it is in every sense a tall order to live up to, but also in my mind representative of something very powerful, very pure. So I hope there's some synergy in those awesome names and the brand.
I love that there are two sides to the name. So tell us about Ayurveda, because I don't understand it completely, and I'm sure there are a lot of our listeners who are just hearing about this for the first time. So what does it mean?
You know, I want to start out by saying that not understanding it is just fine. It is fortunately one of those sciences in my mind that you can know little of and get a lot of benefit from, and then you can go know a lot of and get even more benefit from. So I'll start there. But generally speaking, it's about a 5,000-6,000-year-old system of medicine from India. So it is how for many thousand years we have cured ourselves of, you know, daily ailments like colds and coughs and eczema, as well as something more advanced and extreme, such as, you know, disease. But generally speaking, it's the science of life. That's what it means. And it gives you a series of lifestyle guidances to live your life by. I don't know if guidances is a word, but guidance. It gives you guidance on how to live your life. And it starts with anything as simple as daily detoxes, such as cleaning your tongue and drinking hot water with lemon, to going into a little bit more nuanced activities, such as specific meditations to help go to sleep or get rid of a slow metabolism and things like that. So, and the other part of the lifestyle is the medicine part, which is entirely plant-based. And we use herbs, flowers, roots to create medicine in Ayurveda, which is both topical in nature and ingested. And with Uma, we try to cover both. Our products, of course, address some of the topical aspects of the medication, but we like to invest a lot of time in educating audiences completely non-commercially about using Ayurveda as a part of their life, touching on various kinds of breathing meditations, or how one yoga practice is different from another yoga practice in trying to achieve your life goals, whatever they may be.
So you mentioned breathing, and you, when we were talking about your candle earlier, off mic, you were saying it's not just a candle that you burn. It's meant to help you with breathing exercises, mindfulness. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So one of the things, I mean, we could talk about Ayurveda a lot, and we didn't get
thousands of years,
indeed,
worth of history there. Yeah.
And one of the things we didn't touch on was Ayurveda really believes in the harmony between man, woman, and the environment they live in. It is a balance that one must strike. Therefore, your environment has a very profound influence on your well-being, health, beauty, and mental status. Our wellness line of candles and incense is targeted towards creating that uplifted environment. So there are very specific aromas which, when inhaled, work with your limbic brain to balance and harmonize crises in the body. So while an Uma candle, I'm flattered you think, smells nice, its benefits are far more profound than the smell. It is about balancing your emotion to bring you into a healthier mental state, but combined with that also serve as a reminder of your daily commitment to wellness, to balance, to the things that you have said you will do for yourself, but we often forget in the fragmented world we live in.
And tell us how the skincare and Ayurveda come together.
Great question. So many or all of the products are formulated with the basic philosophy that balance breeds health, breeds beauty in mind. So none of our beauty products try to artificially add anything to your skin. They're very specifically built to bring balance and health to your body and skin, because Ayurveda believes that your body is your best ally against any external stressor. Very often, if you are experiencing something that's out of the ordinary, such as acne or, you know, dryness or sensitivity, it's because your body has gone out of balance. So all Uma products leverage 100% organic ingredients to bring your body back into fighting shape so it can take care of those stressors. For instance, a deeply clarifying oil will bring in cloven tea tree. They'll gently kill bacteria so that your body is equipped to fight back. It brings in clary sage to moderate sebum production in the body. On the other hand, if you take a brightening product like an ultimate brightening face oil, that will bring in neroli and citruses that help the absorption of vitamin C into your system. Something like a pomegranate oil that actually defrays the effects of environmental damage to collagen. So it's very much a 360 approach to healing your body that in turn wields very, very strong benefits to beauty and health.
So you said a lot of these formulas are based on things that your family had been doing for hundreds of years. Tell me the research process. That must have been fascinating.
It was. It was very multi-pronged, and we went back to actually testing these formulas in the modern world, as it were, because as I was bringing it to the West, I realized that, you know, we are contending with different skin types as we think about releasing these formulas. So in my family's book, there are 50 to 100 formulas for everything.
So when you say book, there was a literal book?
There are many.
Wow.
There are many books with, you know, scribbles on the sidelines about a queen who, you know, was very, very stringent about what kind of brightening product she wanted or what kind of acne her daughter or son had. And the process was narrowing 50 formulas down to the one crown jewel, as it were. And it was multi-step. You know, we tested on about 50 to 100 people in India to narrow it down to 5 to 7. And then I took those 5-7 formulas for about a year to experts and connoisseurs across the world, the United States, a few in Italy, Europe generally, to actually try to zero in into the one formula that I felt would be most efficacious for the type of concern we were solving. So it was fun and it was an incredible learning experience because you also started to understand how people framed the issues they had in their minds. And then that helped me develop the language around communicating how we wanted to release these formulas. So for about a year, all I did was research and going back and forth between India and other places in the world, convincing these experts to try the oils and give us feedback.
Where's your family's estate?
It's in Chhattisgarh, which is bang in the middle of central India. The climate's pretty temperate on the warmer side. You know, 100 degree days are not unheard of in India. But even for India, it tends to be more temperate than northern India. That's where we've come to consolidate much of our farming efforts.
And what's the region's cuisine? Most importantly, what's the cuisine from there?
You know, it's unlike North India, which tends to be extremely spicy, this area tends to be a little bit tribal in nature. It's very forested. So you see a lot of rice, honey, and vegetables that you won't find in the United States. So it is quite fascinating. There is a lot of bottle gourd and
bottle gourd.
Yes.
Okay, what does that taste like?
It's spongy.
That doesn't sound great.
You know, it's an acquired taste, but very healthy. That is the one thing that I like to point out to people, that Indian food's interpretation in the West is by far its unhealthiest interpretation. On a daily basis, Indians actually eat very healthy. It's very simple. It's not got a lot of oil, and it's a very, very vegetable heavy. So these are healthier foods, and that part of India definitely has more rice based, less oil, simpler cooking, in part because the rural population there, a lot of tribesmen, etc., are not very affluent. So cooking tends to be simpler but delicious all the same.
What part of India did you grow up in?
It's a great question because I was a bit of a nomad. Because my family was living in such rural parts, that being said, they themselves had access to education that was pretty worldly. I was sent to boarding school at a very young age. I spent time between India and England in boarding school. Then I went back to India for engineering school. So northern India, at the foothills of the Himalayas, was where my boarding school was. And it's very close to Rishikesh, and I was doing yoga with some of the world's most renowned yogis at the age of 8. I've had the privilege of training under Mr. Iyengar, rest in peace, and work with some very, very established yogis and Ayurveda practitioners because of where I was going to boarding school. And then I went back to engineering school near Delhi.
Is yoga still part of your life today?
It is. I would be lying if I said, oh, my job allows me to spend an hour meditating and doing yoga. It absolutely does not. But I try to use that as a reminder that Ayurveda is a science of moderation, that if I killed myself just in agony over the fact that I didn't get a one-hour yoga session in every day, I would actually be doing Ayurveda a disservice. My job right now is to balance the multiple priorities I have in my life, and I try to do everything in moderation. That being said, I do try to do a mini yoga 8 to 10 Surya Namaskars when I wake up, just to get the juices flowing.
What does that mean for those who don't know yoga?
It's basically your sun salutation. I apologize. I went back to since
no,
we're talking
don't
about
apologize. Don't apologize.
It's a series of 8 to 10 steps where it's the vinyasa flow typically, and you can get about 10 sets done in about 8 to 10 minutes, gets your heart rate up, gets your breathing going, and is very powerful in Ayurveda for metabolic reasons, as well as focus reasons in the morning. So that is the one piece of yoga, even though it's not a 1 hour practice, I try to get in every morning. I mean, this morning it was tricky in a hotel room on a towel, but you know, it gives me stories to tell.
And Uma is still very much in startup mode.
Very, very much.
That I mean, startup mode and moderation really don't go together.
You're entirely right. So it is, yes. I say this to people. At any given day, I am the head strategist as well as the janitor of my of my company. Because, you know, as a startup person, you try to solve everything.
Same, absolutely. Do you cook?
I don't often. And because I'm not very good at it, you know.
The truth comes out.
Indeed. Indian cuisine, which is what I grew up with, is actually very involved. You know, there's 25 spices. For it to taste right, it is an involved process. So when I do cook, maybe on a Saturday and Sunday, I'll take the time and, you know, get it done. But in the week, it's typically, you know, ordering in whatever I can. I am vegetarian, so that's both good and bad because sometimes I load up on carbs more than I should. But it's also easy to procure in California, so a salad does me just fine.
Where are your favorite Indian food spots where you live?
It's a great question, and I better not find a mob of Indian people in LA, but it does not make very good Indian food. On the other hand, New York has some spectacular restaurants for Indian food. Somehow, Indian food has never made the jump from you know, your neighborhood, very average cuisine to something more special in India. I'm sorry, in Los Angeles. But there's a couple of places you know, I do recommend. There is one near my house called Flavor of India. They do a pretty decent job, not overwhelming the palate with too many spices, but getting it right. And there's another place called Cardamom, which tries a little bit more of a modern take on Indian food, which just means it's a little bit healthier. But those are the two I would recommend. But it's not a patch on New York.
It's time for our Bob's Red Mill Minute. One of the most perfect summery desserts out there is the lemon polenta cake from Nigella Lawson, who happens to be the cover girl on our new issue. I made Nigella's polenta cake for the folks in my summer share last year, and they thought I was a genius. So thank you, Nigella. I made the cake with Bob's polenta, which you'll see is also marked as corn grits, plus Bob's superfine almond flour made from blanched whole almonds, and Bob's double-acting baking powder with no added aluminum. The batter also contains superfine sugar, eggs, lemon zest, and butter. If you'd like, you can make the cake dairy-free by swapping out the butter for a mild olive oil. You bake the cake in a springform cake tin, and then when it's done, make a syrup with the juice of 2 lemons and some confectioner's sugar. You poke holes in the cake and pour the warm syrup over it. The result is so moist and delicious, you won't believe it. And the cake also has an earthiness from the polenta and the almond flour. Wonderful and earthy. That sounds pretty Nigella to me. If you'd like to make this cake, you can find the recipe on nigella.com. Thanks to Bob's Red Mill for making the best products around and for being the best friend a baker could wish for. Does this happen to you? You need a dozen eggs. You go to the supermarket. You head to the egg section, and you are so confused by what you find there, you freeze. You want nice eggs on hand because maybe you want a cheese and herb omelet for dinner, or you want a perfect poached egg to top your avocado toast with, and you know quality eggs make a big difference. And you're a decent person, so it's important that chickens have a good life. But as you stand there, you think to yourself, I have no idea what all these words on the egg cartons mean. So you shrug, pick one, and continue shopping. Stop right there. You are a busy lady. You don't need this bullshit in your life. You need bullshit-free eggs, which is where Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs come in. Their pasture-raised hens roam outside in 108 square feet of space per hen. Those cage-free hens, they never go outside. I tasted the difference once I tried Vital Farms eggs. Try for yourself. To get your coupon for Vital Farms pasture-raised eggs, head to vitalfarms.com/cherrybomb. Let's hear more from Shrunkla Holacek, founder of the Uma skincare line. All right, so what's new from Uma? What can we expect?
More of an emphasis on the wellness side of things. I have to be honest, launching wellness was very much a leap of faith and labor of love. You know, face oils, from my research, was something that people I knew were going to buy. You know, we make exceptional face oils that work, and people invest in beauty. So I knew that, you know, that's something that was not going to be as hard. But the wellness line was extremely tricky. It was a lot of explaining. It was a lot of bringing people to terms with the idea that your beauty starts from wellness and you must commit to it in a meaningful way. With that said, 18 months flash forward since our launch, we've seen a pretty tremendous cult following for our wellness products. And it's given me the confidence to introduce more sophisticated, more nuanced products. So we will focus on strengthening that piece and educating on wellness more and more as time goes by. And then sort of solidifying some of our popular lines like anti-aging and deeply clarifying. We're going to add a cleanser and a toner to those lines. Some of the Indian Ayurvedic treatments are involved and complex. They will, for the mainstream, they're like, what? Washing my face with something that's not soapy? You want me to wash my face with powder? Yes, please. I want you to try it. And I want you to tell me how amazing your skin looks. And that's been fascinating to introduce people to different forms and types of Indian gommages.
Tell us what a gommage is.
A gommage, actually, this is also well known in Europe, is basically a treatment that binds with dead skin and oil and anything that's external and does the job of the best acid exfoliant you'll have, but without ever touching good skin. So it's particularly powerful in turning skin over and making sure your products work as well as they're supposed to, but without damaging your skin in any shape or form. We have a cleanser that's a bit involved. And, you know, I was training at Neiman Marcus in Dallas yesterday, and they were like, what is that? I've been staring at it in the shop for about 10 days, but I haven't picked it up to try it. Because I was like, yes, it is complex. You know, you take it, you mix it with water, you apply it to your face, and you leave it on there for 2.5 minutes. But then you slough it off, and you see the skin of your dreams. Your pores are instantly tighter. And what you see in the sink is very grotesque and very gratifying all at the same time. So it's been interesting to introduce these complex Indian treatments such as this one, you know, lots of turmeric and honey and yogurt extracts and saffron and cinnamon and orange peel powder, ingredients that haven't been in the mainstream, but, you know, are receiving a lot of love because of the instant impact they have on the skin. And I'm also excited about launching some of those. One of the things I want to say is Uma will never be a very, very complex 10 rituals, 10 steps in your ritual line, just because that's counter Ayurveda. It's simple but powerful beauty rituals, and that's what we want to stay authentic to.
So if people want to know more about Ayurveda, where's a good place to start?
Great question. You know, in baby steps, I have found places like the Chalkboard, Goop, Mind Body Green, simplify the 101s down to very palatable contemporary ways. I would say some of the better articles to just get your head around it, start there. A secondary version would be books by some authors that I like better than others just because they're more purist in their approach. There is a gentleman called Dr. Vasant Lad, L-A-D, whose books I find pretty authentic, but yet contemporary. So that would be your second step. And, you know, sort of asking yourself, how much of this am I ready to take on in my life? Am I ready to dedicate 15 minutes, or am I going to, you know, do the full Monty? And if you wanted to do the full Monty, as it were. You know, there are treatment centers, you know, there are Panchakarma treatment centers that really immerse you, and you often leave feeling like a new person. Dr. Lotz is one. There is another one, I believe, in Ohio that has been highly recommended. And you know what? Take a trip to India. Go down to Kerala. You'll come back a different person, both mentally in terms of the cultural ride it is, as well as having bite-sized, very practical information on how to respond uniquely to your body's needs via diet, exercise, and lifestyle. So that's sort of a three-pronged approach I'd recommend.
What's one Ayurvedic practice you could never abandon?
There's two or three that I love. The simplest one, I think, is tongue cleaning with a copper or some other type of tongue cleanser. It is very powerful because many people don't realize there's a lot of toxin buildup. And stomach is the root of all health in Ayurveda. So keeping that, your gut clean, is very important. So that's one. And just in mouth cleansing, oil pulling is particularly powerful as well.
Do you use coconut oil?
I use sesame because it tends to be better for my dosha type, but coconut oil is another great one. And a secondary...
On your dosha type, just tell everybody what that means.
Great question. Ayurveda believes that each one of us is born with one predominant dosha, of which there are three: Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Vata types is your friend who is slightly anxious, flighty, never gains weight, has thin hair, has sort of drier skin. And when she's or he is pushed, it tends to be anxious and sleeps poorly. Pitta is your middle of the road, kind of ambitious friend with slightly thicker, oilier skin, very sun sensitive. This is the friend who's more prone to getting aggravated and, you know, they get heartburn easily because it's a very fiery type. And Kaphas tend to be the most slow moving, stable, thick skin, thick hair. Tendency to gain weight, sleep very, very well. You know, your stable friend who sometimes when pushed can be slower, more deliberate. And when they are in a state of emotional imbalance, they will get more depressed, as opposed to Vata, who gets more anxious, and Pitta, who actually gets very angry. So that's just a high-level overview. Obviously, it's much more thorough than that, the determination. But what follows within Ayurveda is each dosha type should eat and exercise and have lifestyle habits based on their dosha so that the dosha can remain in balance and you don't see the things I was talking about, such as the depression and the anxiety. So for instance, massage is recommended for all, but the kind of massage you use, a massage oil you used is dependent on your dosha type. So, you know, Vatas can do well with a sesame oil massage, whereas Kaphas should use something like a sunflower or a safflower oil. Going back to practices, I do try to do dry brushing and a little bit of Abhyanga, which is a self oil massage before a shower as well.
Before a shower?
Yes. You know, typically some Ayurveda might recommend a little bit of a thicker oil. And while I do use a body oil just after I've stepped out, before I go in, I'll use, you know, a Whole Foods purchased oil to give myself that after a dry brush, a little bit of a personal massage. And it's very helpful in many, many wellness ways. In fact, that at times I start to skip it. I can see my body feel differently and also gather weight differently. So those are tongue cleaning, Abhyanga are things I try to have in my practice every day, aside of the sun salutations.
Well, Shrankala, thank you so much. I hope you come back on the show because we didn't even talk about Ayurveda as applies to food. And that's an hour-long conversation.
Indeed, indeed. And, you know, I'll do you one better. Why don't you come out to LA and we'll do this in the sun?
Oh, my gosh. I would absolutely love that. I'm going to take you up on that this year.
I can't wait.
That's it for today's show. Thank you to Shrankla Holacek, the founder of the beauty line Uma. For more on her brand, check out umaoils.com. Thank you to our sponsors, Bob's Red Mill, Vital Farms Pasture-Raised Eggs, and Le Cordon Bleu Culinary Schools. Thank you to our engineer, DJ Dave Tatasciore, and to the band Tra La La for our theme song. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. Thanks for listening, everyone. You're the bomb. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Radio Cherry Bomb is powered by Simplecast. Simplecast is a popular hosting and analytics platform that allows podcasters to easily host and publish to apps like Apple Podcasts. If you have a podcast or are looking to create your very first, check it out. Try it for free and save half off your first 3 months at simplecast.com/heritage.